All right, welcome back, everybody, to the All Things Croatia podcast. Today's episode, we have Doris Bacic, who is a professional football player who's played for clubs like Arsenal, Juventus, and Napoli, and she is currently the goalkeeper and captain of the Croatian national team. And we're going to learn a bit more about her here. Doris, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I really appreciate having you on. To start us off, you know, I want to hear a little bit about you growing up. So you grew up in Neum. You're from Neum, right?
Yeah, I am from Neum. I'm born and raised in Neum. I started also playing football there, and it's really like small city. Like there is not so much thing to say about it. Honestly, I started playing football really accidentally because it was the only sport that we trained in the city, basically. So I started training it because there was not anything else. But then I started loving it, and then it became my life, you know. And then after I went to Dubrovnik, I went to high school in Dubrovnik. And I played there, and which after this, I went out. I was playing for Osijek for 1 year, but like I was still studying in Dubrovnik, and I was just like playing the games, and I had my middle trainings. But then at that level, everything was just like, you know, it was very unprofessional. I mean, it was very like I was a kid, like I was young, and it was something I was doing like on the side, you know, like having fun apart from school. And then I got called up for the young national team of Croatia. And then the things started to become a little bit more serious. Like for me, it became much more. I mean, I had to be more serious because I was like national team player. I've been like called up for the junior team, and that's where I would say everything would start.
So you got called up in high school before you were even playing on clubs?
No, I was playing in Dubrovnik in the club.
The club in Dubrovnik.
This was with maybe 15 years, I got called up first time for under 15. Mm-hmm. And I went for one camp. This was like really long time ago. I don't even remember anymore who was the coach, honestly. But I was playing for Dubrovnik and I got called up for the national team. And this is how it started. Like I was playing for under 15 and I passed really I played for under 15, I played for under 17, under 19, and then I came to play for this first team, and I had my first game when I was 17.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Well, yeah, I want to talk more about that, but I want to go back to Neum because I've been there basically every time I go to Dubrovnik on the bus. You know, it stops there for the...
But now there is a bridge, the bus there anymore. Now there is a bridge, and
that's right, yeah. But a lot of the listeners here, you know, for the All Things Croatia podcast are diaspora who live, you know, in the U.S. or Australia or, you know, places around the world. And, you know, me coming from a big city like Los Angeles, you know, and I know other people as well, maybe it's interesting to hear sort of what's life like as a kid growing up in Neum, you know. And you can imagine, I know you played in some big cities around the world, so I'm sure you can compare the differences.
Yeah, like I was really lucky that I grew up in Neum. Like I always take it inside my heart everywhere I go, and I was I was the first girl who ever trained at the men. First girl I think ever trained in the football, with the men team and now. But I really never felt any type of like discrimination or anything. Like all the boys, they were all my friends, so we were always like just having fun. Like after the training, they would go to the street and play football in the street. Like Neum was with the fact that Neum is in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but we all like feel ourselves like, I would say, very Croatians and stuff. And now we all live from tourism. Like we basically work 3 months, and then from the rest of the year we're just like not doing anything, like chilling. But like I was lucky because like life was really easy, you know. Like you could have go. It's really calm and very peaceful city. Like you could go out in the street to play all day, and I always loved it. Like I love to go back home.
Yeah, Yeah, it's very beautiful, that whole area. I mean, all of Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina, that whole region is very pretty. And yeah, the coast, it must be so nice to grow up right there, by the sea, so close. And growing up either
No,
as a
it is. It is. I'm actually like, I don't think like I ever realized how like lucky and fortunate I am until I like left and until I started living out of the realm, actually. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I was always thinking like, this is so small city, like there's nothing to do here, like what is this place? But like, when you're a kid, like you sometimes hard to see a bigger scene, but like I appreciate it much more today than I do like appreciate a lot bigger cities where I lived.
Definitely, yeah. As a kid or as a young, player in the beginning of your career, who were some of your idols that you looked up to in terms of football?
But like like my father is very good friend with Mark Viduka, and he used to be a lot in the home, so like he was kind of always like, I don't know, around the family, and also like we're very close, like to with family with Goran Juric. He was a 98, like he played for Zvezda and Dinamo, like left back. So I would say like growing up with them, like I was kind of always like looking into those generations, like little bit older ones. I was always fan of Hajduk Split, but like I always admired really Zvonimir Boban, which is maybe a little bit contradictory, but like I did think always that Zvonimir Boban is one of the greatest players that Croatia ever had. And I don't know, I was following always like Hajduk, Milan. I always loved Maldini and stuff. Like from the goalkeepers, it would be definitely Buffon. And I do remember also following like Tim Howard for some time, but I thought always that he's super cool. Like maybe not like I don't know, like maybe he's not as good goalkeeper as like Buffon is, but I always remember I was thinking that he's so cool.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome, dude. I'll do a quick I think I mentioned before I started recording, but we'll do some sort of random questions in the middle of these other questions. So not really related to football, but really quick, what is your favorite food to eat when you're back home in Neum?
I love pizza.
Eddie, just
Pizza is my
cheese
favorite
or
food.
yeah.
Not only in Ireland, but pizza is my favorite. Like I love Italian food, and I think like I have some friends like that. They're always saying to me like, "I only eat pasta and pizza." Like it's not the small squirted thing, but I just really love I love pizza, and I'm a big fan of, I don't know, very simple and easy food. Like I like seafood.
Well, how does the pizza in Croatia and Herzegovina rank against Italy?
Oh, it's not even like it. Like it's good, but it's not like, like I live in Napoli. Napoli is home of pizza. Like I can't compare that. Like it's really hard.
Yeah, you can't say anything about pizza over there, I'm sure. One
No,
thing.
like I'm enjoying it here. Like it's perfect. It's the best place in the world where you can live and have good food.
One thing that surprised me when I moved to Croatia, I was living out there. I was living in Zagreb for a couple years, and now I'm
Oh,
back in
okay.
Los Angeles. But I was down in Konavle with some friends there, and they were putting ketchup and mayonnaise on the pizza. And to me, that was crazy. I'd never seen that before. Do you do
I
that?
think. Yeah, I don't do it, but it is something that we do. And I do remember once doing it in front of my Italian friends, and they were all like, "No, what can we do anything? Wow, don't put bad things on pizza." I was like, "Well, I'm gonna eat it." No, but like, why is the problem?
Yeah, but I'm
That's
sure that's like a
we
sin
never
over
heard
there.
it. It's weird.
That is, yeah, that's and the same thing I think here in the US, if you were to do that, people would look at you like you're crazy. Not that we care about pizza.
But I know that like you in US you put like ketchup on spaghetti. Like this is same. Like this is as worse as bad as pizza is.
That, yeah, I've never done that. Some people, I know some people who do that, but yeah, even to me, that's too far.
This is also bad.
That's bad.
Same level of bad.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. That's true. That's true. Well, I'll take this back to football now. But talk to me. You mentioned you're playing for Napoli now in Italy. Talk to me sort of about the different clubs that you played for and what those experiences were like.
Yeah. Well, the first club that I went when I left Croatia is Arsenal in England. And I was there like really, really short because at that point Croatia wasn't part of EU, so I didn't get work permit. So I was there just like a couple of months training with them, and then I signed for Rosengård in Malmo in Sweden. And there I spent one season, and I landed like, but I was really young, so like I played like I met so many like good players, so many like new friends. I learned new culture. The one thing I didn't like is it's so cold. Like Sweden is super cold, and it's not like nice to be a goalkeeper in this cold. Like especially like in that point, Rosengard was one of the best clubs in Europe, and it was like it was just for goalkeeper. I wasn't the first goalkeeper. I was like one of the youngest ones, but like I remember I watched like the first goalkeeper, and I would always think like, how can she do it? Like it's like she doesn't like go once on a grass, and like it's snowing outside and it's freezing. Then after this, I was just one season in Iceland. This I did more like I just got excited about the idea of living in Iceland, exploring it and like and seeing it. So I did like saw a good opportunity for like myself to learn more about culture and country there. And like it was really short because the season in Iceland is just 3 months because of like weather and stuff. So it was really only during the summer 3 months. And after this, I went to Anderlecht, Belgium. I played there, and it was good. Like the club, was good. Like it's a big club. It's probably the biggest Belgian club. The people love it there. Like you, this is maybe the first time when I started to feel like this maybe that is missing to the clubs that are independent from the main club, like this fame. I don't know, like you don't get the same amount of love from the fans. Like if you play, I would say in Anderlecht, and if you play Juventus, Sport, if you play Rosengard, because like Rosengard is much more independent. Like people do support it, but like you know, like people are crazy about Anderlecht, this huge club. And this is like where I would say like I learned a lot in Anderlecht. Like, maybe like I was a little bit like unlucky. I had a really big injury at the beginning of the season where I broke my entire face, basically. And I was like recovering for a couple of months from this. So it was like I was struggling at the beginning. But altogether, like, I really loved it in Belgium. It was a really nice experience. And after this, I signed for Juventus, where I was 3 years. And then Juventus, like I always say, like it's like my second family. Even today, like the players and the girls and the goalkeeper coach that I met there, I would say I was really lucky to meet goalkeeper like this at this beginning of my life. It was like absolutely everything that I needed as a amateur. Maybe unfinished and technically goalkeeper at this point. Like I met a goalkeeper coach. He is now goalkeeper coach of Italian national team, Giuseppe Mammoliti, and he taught me really maybe more than anybody else taught me of anything in my life, and I would be really forever grateful for this. And nothing like 3 years Juventus, we won more or less anything that there was to win. And then after this, I went to Sporting to Lisbon, Portugal. And after this, I was in Spain. Last year, I was in Spain in Levante Las Planas, like which is based in Barcelona. And nothing like I came back to Napoli this year. Like I came back to Italy this year because I somehow always felt really Italy was my second home, and I always find myself to be really good here, and I always enjoy it. But coming back to vacations or coming back to see my friends, I do think that Italian mentality is really maybe the closest one to our Croatian mentality, especially for me, where I'm from the south of Croatia, and all this like you know sea and sun influence and Mediterranean, where you're like just a little bit more maybe slowly. I was kind of craving this all my life. Like I did I do remember first time I left to Porto.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Well, where it was really like warm, I said, I'm never going back anywhere where it's cold. Like, there's no way. Like, I don't want to go back to the cold country. Good to the side field, I do believe that, like, it's very important to have also good quality of life. Like, it's not only about football.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can imagine Italy down there, down south, is very similar. I mean, you can take a Jadrolinia, basically, from Croatia to Italy. Yeah. What is that, a couple hours?
No, it's really close. You can go 2 hours drive to Bari, and from Bari there is the Jadrolinia to Dubrovnik, which is maybe 8 hours, I think.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Have you done that before, or do you always fly?
No. I'm always flying. I only went for Christmas home. Like, I'm just, I have national team. Every time when we are free, I have national team. So, and my national team pays me the flights.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very busy schedule. You mentioned, you know, playing in all these different countries and all these different teams and stadiums. Where was your favorite place to play in terms of, like, the atmosphere, the crowd?
Well, probably, this is a hard one. So I would say I loved playing a lot game in Osijek with the national team, which I would say was first time ever that we played, like, with this big crowd in Croatia. And this, for me, was always my dream come true. Like, this is one of the dreams that I never fulfilled. So it was really, like, all of us, like, girls, we were really emotional about this, and we... Like, we didn't want to lose against Norway. That this, I'm sorry for this, but it was really for all of us dream come true to play in front of our people in our home. We played in Osijek, in the stadium of Osijek, which is just like built little thing like just a while ago. And after this, I would say I also love playing for Juventus in Allianz Stadium. This is maybe like two games where I really enjoy playing. Like, I do love to play against also, like, against teams that have, like, big crowds, so there is more away crowd than a home one, but I would say that those two games for sure were one of my two favorite games.
That's awesome, yeah. Yeah, that new Osijek, yeah, that stadium was just built not too long ago, I guess at the end of last year, maybe. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a brand new stadium, like, really brand new.
That's awesome. Oh, one quick question before I get back into this line of thinking, but what type of music do you listen to? Either maybe when you go out and party, and also like when you're training and stuff.
Well, I'm really like old fashioned about music. I do listen a lot about 60s and 70s rock and roll. And I do listen like new wave from England. When I go out to party, like, obviously this is music that is not so much popular today to go out to the party. And I know how, like, in Europe, it's not, I mean, you live in Zandvoort, you know, how, like, it's not like that. But when I go out, like, to have party or something, I mostly go to the music. But when I'm in the home and I'm listening to my music, it's mostly, like, blues and rock and roll, new way, and, like, like this 80s, 70s years.
So give me some bands of those. Like, is that like Led Zeppelin or like?
Okay, so my favorite band would be, for sure, Pink Floyd, I would say.
Oh, wow.
And I also like Jefferson Airplane. And I do like also, I mean, Led Zeppelin, I like them. Maybe they're not in my top five, but I do like them. I mean, I know all others. But it's like they like Doors also. I like I do like Grateful Dead and all that, like San Francisco scene from 70s.
Yeah, wow, yeah, that's some real throwbacks there. The Jefferson Airplane
Yeah.
and the Grateful Dead, yeah, definitely some 60s and 70s. Interesting. Oh, yeah, I don't remember
Yeah.
any of the clubs in Zagreb playing any Grateful Dead when you go
No.
out.
You know, my teammates hate my music. Like, my
Really?
teammates are like, just anybody can play music, just don't give it to Dottie. We just don't want to listen to this music. So, obviously, when I'm in a dressing room, when I'm with my teammates, I'm always like, you know, like getting adopted. Like, I am thinking, okay, if you want to listen to this, we listen to this. Like, it's fine, you know. In a national team, we listen more slowly, Croatian music. Like, you know, the one that gets you going before the game.
All the like what is Zaprešić boys, all those songs. And well,
Things like that.
you're a Hajduk fan, you mentioned, and you're down south there. I'm trying to think what's the equivalent of Zaprešić boys for, because like Zaprešić boys, you know, they're Dinamo, but they also have a whole bunch of like national team songs like that. Is
Yeah,
there
like you're really solid, like cool. I don't know, like Hajduk is mostly like playing like Dalmatian songs and stuff like this. Like Vinko Zoce would be, but he's dead now, but he did sing a lot of songs about Hajduk and about the leash.
Yeah, I was listening not too long ago to a lot. I got in like a I just started listening to a lot of Hajduk songs and like all these other songs, like even somewhere from some Bjelovar song. It's crazy to me that Croatia has like every club has their own music and their own songs. It's like here we don't have
But
that, you
I
know.
think it's very like I think everywhere in Europe it's like this. Like also in Italy, like every club that has their anthem and their music and songs. I do think it's normal.
Yeah,
Are you
that's.
also a hybrid supporter?
I never, you know, I grew up always just thinking, you know, Croatia, everything is Croatia, and like it's all one, everyone is one, you know. So when I actually went out to Zagreb and I saw that it's all Dinamo versus Hajduk and all these rivalries, it was just weird to me. So I could never pick one because I liked living in Zagreb. It was nice, but I also spend a lot of the summers in Makarska, you know, down there close to Split. So I don't know. I can't really decide, and I don't want to get beat up by any one of the other fans, so I just say
Oh,
both.
okay. That's fair enough. No.
But I do like the music. I like the music of both teams, of all the teams,
Yeah.
because here in the US you don't have that, you know. It's like there's no songs for the Lakers basketball team,
Oh, okay.
so that's new for me, and that's why I listen to that. Well, I'll bring this back to football, but talk to me sort of about women's football in Croatia and how that has grown, and sort of how it is in Croatia versus around Europe, the rest of Europe, and the rest of the world, really.
Well, we've been like lately we've been growing a lot. Like I would say, also this game that I mentioned before, that where we played in Osijek, was just one consequence of this growth of women's football in Croatia lately. And we've been struggling for a couple of years, and I do think that there was a period where like women's football in Europe was moving, and we were a little bit like falling behind. But then I do think that in the last couple of years, we did a huge step forward. Like that the federation started to invest a lot of money, that the little bit girls change, like roster change, like we got a new coach, everything, like, you know, like, I would say that change is sometimes necessary. You know, it doesn't matter if you're doing well or bad, like, it's just to shaking things up a little bit. And this is exactly what happened. Like we got new coach, we got new like people who were working around us that got like more motivated. And like I do feel it. And like in every work, once you work like for a long year, you just maybe lose your like motivation, ambition. And like stuff just started like you know happening. I do feel that like in women's football, like it's always domino effect. Like you just need to start doing something, and it just other things just come. And now I would say that we are really growing very young team. And I am really optimistic about national team. Although I do think that league and creation, like creation league back home needs a lot more investments and a lot more I do feel it's a little bit falling behind. Like I do think that maybe it needs some changes, maybe it needs some more people that are more involved and people that want to do more. And I do feel that there the problem that we are a little bit falling behind. But I don't have doubts that this is also going to come on its way. Like it's for sure. Like I'm like there is no about going back for women football now once it's started like happening and the stand, well, once the things started like to move over with the World Cups, with Euros, with investments in Europe, in transfer, like there's no way in bet, like just gonna go like forward. And also with this, Croatia was gonna go forward. I just like the only question is with what speed, you know. I do hope it's gonna be like it's gonna like start going a little bit faster than it is. But for sure, the future about women football, women national team in Croatia is really bright.
Well, you mentioned the Euro Cup, and so that takes place 1 year after the men's tournament, right? The Euros. So that will be next year for you guys.
Yeah.
What it's that what's the road to the Euro Cup look like for your team and
So
for
we have now,
qualifying?
like, yeah, we have now, we have national team next week, actually, Monday, the 1st April. And we have two, like, it's the Euro qualifies start now next week. So it's the first games to the qualifies. And we are in a group with Wales, Ukraine, and Kosovo. And first two games we play Wales away, Ukraine home. I do like it's really like complicated now. Like I would like try to even explain to you because I'm not quite sure if I would be right. But like the system works as a national league work. So basically, like the first team qualifies or needs to play one playoff, and then second team needs to play again playoff. Now we have these games. I do believe that we got good group. I do think that we have a lot of chances. I do believe that like Wales is a really strong opponent, but it's possible to play against them. And also like against Ukraine, Kosovo, we are going to like give our all. And I am positive, and I do hope that we are going to manage to qualify, which would be first time in history.
Well, you were just named, captain. You're captain of the national team. What does that mean to you, and what sort of role do you take on by becoming the captain?
But honestly, like to tell you, it's something that maybe I always want. I mean, I feel that everybody wants to be captain. Like, it's something you want to like to go out with your team, represent your country, like take armband and everything. Something that I really, really wanted. But when I got it, it was something that I realized that maybe I wasn't ready for. Like, it wasn't what I was expecting it to be. You know, like it came with a lot of responsibility. Which like for me, maybe I was like a little bit thinking like, oh, you know, I'm skeptical, like it's gonna be like easy and stuff, which wasn't like and it's the maybe just when I became the captain, I realized how our previous captain, which is also maybe a legend of Croatian football, Ivo Langdeka, like how much he's been went through. And it came with a big responsibility, but you just have to adapt fast. And I do feel like I did this, like I do feel that I'm giving my all. Like of course we're all humans, like we all made mistakes and stuff, but I am always like trying to be there for the girls, trying to be there for the stuff, and trying to be like also channel of communication if it's necessary or anything with federation or with anybody. And it's been huge honor for me. Like it's been huge honor for me. It's been like huge. Like my family is like really proud, and like this also makes me proud of it. And it's been one of my like really dreams since I started like wearing Croatian shirt.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I love to hear that. So you really feel like you're stepping more into, becoming a leader and having to.
Well, and I'm trying to like I am hoping that like I am like I'm still like I became maybe 2 years ago captain. I'm not like so long. Like I do feel like all my national team teammates are also my friends. So it's not like that hard. We're really like one family in the in the national team, and we all do. Like the only difference between me and five other players is that I have armband, but they're also the same leaders like I am. They have the same status like I do. So it's just like I feel normal thing. And I am happy. I am fortunate really to have teammates like this, to have teammates that are gonna step up in any moment and any moment really show that. Doesn't matter who is missing and what's happening, they're ready. No matter the conditions.
That's awesome. Yeah, I want to change the subject to sort of global football and what's been going on lately. But what are your thoughts about players going to the MLS and to the Saudi League? Because that's been the last, I guess, 2 years, 1 year, sort of a big thing. And I see a lot of mixed opinions on it. So I wonder, what are your thoughts on players doing that?
Well, do you mean men player or women player?
Well, either in general, I guess. I mean, going to sort of a worse league, I guess, for either more money or more publicity or...
Yeah, I don't think it's not saying, because, of course, if you go from... as a men player, if you go to MLS from Europe, maybe it's not the same level. Maybe it's a little bit, slower level and stuff. But if you're a woman, you go to American League, the level is really hot.
That's
so
true.
It's not saying, I think that for the women players going back to America is a huge step forward. It's really, really big thing, because the women football in America is huge. Which it's not saying with the men, if you go, maybe it's it's a little bit slower, a little bit maybe tactically not as at the point where it is in Europe. And Saudi League, I can't say much. At this point, I don't know how it seems to everybody that it's just all there, the players go there for the money. But I did also permit a lot of players that went there, also women and men, that just heard good project. The people, they do have money, so why wouldn't they? They can put their money into whatever they want, you know? So. If they're putting in, and if there is chance for you to be part of some project that is good, why not do it? At the end, it's your job, it's your life, your career. I'm not really judging either way. I do feel that anybody should do their career what they want. And at the end of the day, it's only football. No, it is it's not the end of the world. If you want to go and earn money, nobody can tell you, don't do this. If you want to stay and play in the biggest level, and if this is the only part thing for you, then you choose this. I do feel it's really individual choice, and it's both fine for me.
Yeah, it depends just what you're looking for out of it, or what's important to you, what you want. That makes sense. And yeah, you mentioned it's funny that the American, the women's team has been one of the best in the world for the longest time, and the men's team has always been really bad. Up until just recently, they're finally starting to get a little bit better. But the American women's team, the football team, has always been very strong. And that was really
It's always been really strong in America, but always have a huge culture of women's football. I mean, just if you see the base and the structure of women's football in America, it's they play every college and every university. This is crazy. This is something you can't imagine. And it's just huge base of the player that America has.
Yeah, definitely. I want to ask sort of you personally, because to me, penalty kicks are the most exciting part of the game to watch, but also the most, scary if you're rooting for the Croatian national team and you go to penalty kicks, you feel like you're going to have a heart attack every kick. What's your strategy as a goalkeeper during those, and what's going through your head when that happens?
Well, I think depends who is shooting penalties. I do feel it's a lot of psychology in it, and it depends a lot about characteristics of the player. I didn't have some crazy strategy really. I choose a side and I go strong for that side.
Mm-hmm. Do you say, oh, this player usually goes, left or right, or are you just kind of watching in the moment, their body language and trying to guess right there?
Well, I would say it's a bit of everything, really. Mm-hmm. You don't maybe know sometimes how the players shoot, what are their habits and stuff, but I do think it's a bit of everything in a moment.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Aside from football, daughters, what do you do in your free time? What sort of hobbies or what else do you like to do?
Vacation. No, aside of the football, I've been before. I do a lot. I read the books, I play a PlayStation, I go out to the beach, and I do all the beach sports. But really, with the recent schedules in the football with new nations and stuff, my free time is really reduced to zero. The only free time I have is for Christmas when I go home, and in the summer when I'm mostly on vacation and not doing really nothing. But just daily in my year, I would say that, I mean, I go out with the friends, I read, I watch movies, like every other person, I do feel just trying to kill some time.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Have you watched any good movies lately? Anything new?
I'm a big anime lover, so I mostly watch anime.
Yeah. Okay. I
Yeah.
never really got into that, but a lot of friends, I feel like only just recently, within the last, I don't know, maybe 7 years or so, it's gotten like really popular amongst, like everyone, people who didn't watch it before, and now it's become
Oh, yeah,
mainstream.
maybe I have always been fan of cartoons and about the animations and stuff. So I love an anime. I love all the Ghibli Studio and all the Japanese cartoons, and I always love this.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. Well, daughters, I want to thank you so much for coming here on the All Things Croatia podcast. I've got one last question for you, which is a question that I ask every guest at the end of the podcast, and that's just, what to you makes Croatia special?
Croatia. Oh, there's so many things that make Croatia special. Oh, well, I would say that the thing that makes Croatia special are the people. What makes it special for the Miaka people? A lot of people think nature, stuff, sea, and other things, but without people, Croatia would never be like this. Maybe sometimes we are hard, but at the end, I do feel that we are all very, that we love our country and that we would do anything for it. And I do always get proud to be Croatian because of this, because of everything that our it was written in our history, because of everything our ancestors did, and because of everything that I hope that we and the future generation will do.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Doris, I want to wish you, the best of luck in your career, both with the clubs and of course with the
Thank you.
national team and the upcoming qualifications. Looking forward to those. And yeah, thank you very much for taking the time to come on today.
Thank you for calling, and I hope you're going to follow us in politics now.